Welcome to The Tourism Teacher. I'm your host, Andy Jasperson. Join me as I help you unveil the inner workings and acronyms of the world of tourism and destination marketing. If you're new to the industry or simply looking to refresh your grasp on the basics and lingo, you've come to the right place. I'll be your guide to a more comprehensive understanding of this fascinating industry. So take your seats, open your notebooks, and join me as we explore the world of tourism together. Let's dive into this lesson from The Tourism Teacher. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Tourism Teacher. We've got another guest on today's episode, and we'll be talking about one of the most well-known organizations in the tourism world, Destinations International. I'm joined today by Andreas Weissenborn, Vice President of Advocacy and Research at Destinations International. Thanks for joining us, Andreas.
Thank you so much, Andy, for having me today. I'm excited for today's conversation about something I'm deeply passionate about, which is my job at Destinations International.
It's always good when you're passionate about your job, so I'm looking forward to this conversation. So, Andreas, can you give our listeners a brief introduction on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, full name, Andreas Weissenborn. Again, I appreciate title, research and advocacy. So, I've been with the association a little bit over 6 years. Prior to that, I was a member of Destinations International, then known as DMAI, also previously known before that, ISCVB, for a little bit over 11 years. I worked for called my former alma mater with Visit Baltimore as a DMO, doing research, advocacy, and technologies for a little bit over 11 years. My current role in Destinations International, I'll focus on kind of three aspects. It's advocacy, research, and destination tools. There's a lot that goes into all those, but just to try to cement it in very small, succinct points. Advocacy, we try to teach the members the most important thing, which is that they are essential, important to their community. So it's constantly teaching how destination organizations can understand how they are a common good for the greater goods for their community. Research encompasses a couple of different topics. So I have my hands in things regarding our weaponization of travel research, whether it's on resident sentiment, whether it's on our EDI research. I have an overlay in that. And finally, destination tools. This includes, you know, our event impact calculator, Mint, and whatnot. Things that we supply that tactically help our members, destination organizations, do the best job that they can. That's kind of how I spend what gets me up every day.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of resources for these different DMOs. And I know that there are a lot of different sizes of DMOs. So not everybody has a whole department that they can dedicate to specific things. So the fact that you guys can kind of do the heavy lift so that they can get to the implementation stage faster is really valuable.
Yeah, we try to cover every member of every size across every continent. I think it's a little bit misnomer. Sometimes they think that, you know, we're only large destination organizations. That's, in fact, actually not true at all. You know, we cover everything from a one-person shop to less than a $100,000 budget to all the way up to 100 million plus, you know, and various facets across the world who have their own various ways of running a destination organization, those needs, and we try to do our best to meet those needs at where they're at.
Yeah, that's such a broad spectrum. The needs of those different groups are so different. So it's always exciting to hear what you guys are coming out with next and the different resources that you're putting out there, whether those are the different conferences or summits or even just the emails that you send out on a regular basis that we can kind of draw from and learn from. Well, cool. I know this is a really long-standing organization, and I'd love to know a little bit more. Can you tell us about how it got started and what the core values of the organization are?
Yeah, go back into our history books here. So the Destinations International is a trade association, first and foremost, so just to put that out there so everyone's aware. And a lot of pretty much every major industry in the world has a trade association that represents it. Its job and role and function is to help make sure it's sector that it represents, you know, does their job the best that it can be. This trade association started all the way back in actually 1914. So we celebrate over 100 years in 2014. So we're at what, 109 coming up, which is incredible. And the history of this, the trade association really mirrors what was happening in the United States around the same time, where we were looking at economic collapse in a couple of different capacities across different cities. And people were trying to look at different ways of providing economic development, economic influence into the communities. And they started looking at the prevalence of visitors and, more importantly, meetings and events. So we started to see other trade associations start to gather around the same time and understand, hey, great ideas happen when we meet together and collaborate together. And so one of the first known destination organizations that started, at least in the United States, is Visit Detroit. I always loved their initial mission, vision, and value statement, which was actually just for the advancement of the people of Detroit. And that sort of kickstarted off what then became known as, you know, now Destinations International. Again, I mentioned in my intro, a couple of different names. The latter 30 years have been, you know, DMAI, ICBB. But it's always had this core mission, which is to help serve, support, advocate for destination organizations. And I'll paraphrase this. So it can be DMOs, destination marketing organizations. They can be CVBs. They can be tourism boards. They can be tourism agencies as part of it. Its role has been to help support those over the past 100 years. A core tenet of that, and again, I'll back up again before some of the tenets of it, are establishing guiding values and pillars for the organization. Our most current ones and recent ones are community, research and advocacy, professional development, and destination tools. I'm very fortunate that I'm in three out of the four. So you guys get a pretty good special today with just interviewing me. But the Trade Association has always had tenets and pillars that it guides its work throughout as part of it. One of the ones I think we're very well known for in the professional development and the community side are our events. It is the one of the most exciting things I think we do. I think anyone who ever first gets involved with the association as a member, the first thing I recommend is saying, let's look at our events and how can we get you there? Because I really think that's where the magic and the sort of extrapolation of new ideas starts to come to light. I think one of the most intoxicating things, what I remember when I first became a member and went to my first then DMAI event, was just meeting peers and like, whoa, you're like me, but a different city or even different country. And you do what I do and you have the same problems I do. And that is just some sort of magic as part of it.
Absolutely. I think that the ability to share ideas with each other and help problem solve together is such an advantage. I absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah. And so again, as of this recording, hearing this, we have a couple wonderful events on our slate throughout the rest of 2023. We just completed CEO Summit in Victoria, British Columbia. The next big one, the big show, called our annual convention, happening July 18th to the 20th in Dallas, Texas. Now, alongside this, it's a mega event. We have two other summits and activations. First and foremost, we're also going to be having our Visitor Services Summit take place as well, just on the 18th of July in Dallas. But preceding all that is our CDME courses, our summer sessions happening the weekend prior. Again, it's still in Dallas, July 15th through the 18th. Get a little break from events after that, but then, man, we come back swinging hard in the fall with another major event. One of my key favorite ones is our Advocacy Summit. This time taking place in Little Rock, Arkansas, going to be October 10th through the 12th. But accompanying it, again, are a couple other awesome activations. First, a brand new summit. It's going to be our EDI Summit, Equity, Diversity, Inclusion, happening. This is the October 10th through the 11th in Little Rock, as well as our Business Operations Summit as well, happening the 9th through the 11th in October. And then also finally, again, preceding all of it, another block of CDME that weekend. So again, I maybe seem a little bit out of breath about these, but I'm excited because these are a core tenet of what we do. And I think it is the best representation of when you want to see the industry working together, the sector collaborating and whatnot like that. It's something that I think is just, you got to come to event. It is one of the greatest networking, greatest expansion of ideas to come. So hopefully the ones I mentioned, someone can find a place for themselves to go. And I didn't get to mention the ones that we've already passed that will happen starting in 24 again.
Well, there are so many things going on within Destinations International as far as their events go. And these are all things that happen annually, right?
Correct. Yes. Not at the same location. What we tend to do, especially as our membership has expanded, we try to take into account for where we put these geographically to accommodate, particularly with annual convention. But yes, generally, Advocacy Summit, you're going to be in the fall. I'm an autumn guy, so I don't ever want to see it in the heat, but we'll be in the fall. Annual convention, typically, it's always going to be, I'm going back and track, it's always in July through the summer. But then a couple other ones, especially since the pandemic, have changed dates, but we're always going to have a marketing communication summit. Right now, that's recently shifted to late winter. And then CEO Summit as well, which has always been historically in the spring, as well as a convention sales and services and destination showcase, which has been typically late winter and spring. But I would advise anyone, if you're curious about our events, come check us out on our website. We typically put things out a year in advance, so you can come on right now and take a look and see where the events will be and when they'll be in the coming future.
Yeah, so you can plan for your budget and know what your travel schedule will be. I think that that's one of the coolest things about the events is that they're in different destinations. So we are supporting our different colleagues around the country, but also getting to visit these different places so that we're practicing what we preach, not just sitting in our own destination, twiddling our thumbs. Not that we do that, but you get to go out and get out there and explore new places too.
Yeah. Each of these events, to put, you know, they are a partnership with these host cities. They are just as much as identity of the event as the event itself. We could not do that without our member support to make these events as successful as they are. We've had a lot of great moments with our destinations running these events in partnership with us because they really do add that extra special touch of not only things to do in the destination, but also helping with content and speakers to give a sense of locality and bespokeness right to it. It is a full-on partnership for every event we do. That destinization is right there with us, helping us make this event the most successful it can be.
Very cool. And I just kind of want to touch back on something that you said. We will be getting deeper into this in our next episode, but you had mentioned CDME, and I didn't want our newer listeners to be totally lost as to what that is. Do you want to give us just like a 30-second soundbite on what that is, just so that they understand what those letters stand for?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys have a separate podcast on this one because it is also at a very established, longstanding activation we have. But the acronym itself, you know, Certified Destination Management Executive, this is designed for C-suite individuals to help advance their career. It is unlike our other events where it is classroom style. So if you notice the dates I gave out this past year, they happen over the weekend. It's designed to be classroom style, 8 hours a day. There is homework as part of it. But much more tightly focused as part of it. It is one of several sort of accreditations we have. This is at the individual level as part of it. Another one we have is our organization level one DMAP. But it is really, if you are at the stage of your career, you're saying, okay, how do I either go into a C-suite position or continue my education as C-suite position? CDME is that program for you.
Awesome. And so for those of you whose interest has been piqued, we've got another episode coming where we're going to talk to Rory, who is the head of the education side of DI. So we're looking forward to that as well. Do you want to touch a little bit on membership and how that particular piece works? You've talked about your members and you've talked about the range of sizes of members there are, but what does the membership process look like and what can you tell us about that piece of DI?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Destination International really is a collection of, and our members, I'll put it a couple of ways, is both the destination organizations, but all our industry partners as well as equal footing. But the agencies which are support primarily are destination organizations, which, you know, DMOs, the M you can supplant in whatever you want it to be, CVBs, tourism boards. Basically, typically nonprofits, those who have purpose over profit, who help advocate, advance, support, and market or sell a brand for a community. That's a destination organization. We have a little bit over 600 destinationization members across the globe, most prolific in the United States and Canada, but that's been growing every year, and it's been exciting to see that growth. If you're interested in sort of becoming a member, we have sort of an onboarding process where you connect with our membership team, where you get to kind of go through saying, okay, here's sort of the catalog of things of what you get as being part of a member. We do have a lot of assets and resources that are instantly activated to you when you become a member, things like our job description board, our compensation and benefits reporting platform, our funding related benchmarking platforms, some of our EDI research that get unlocked for you when you become a member. In addition to the emails, the content, and then the event activations and discounts as well as part of it. So it is, again, something I always look forward to every day is getting the chance to meet new members, particularly when you start meeting members from brand new DMOs, which is exciting in emerging markets, or people who are new to the sector and come for the first time. Say, oh, I was in this industry, now I hopped to this one, and I'm just learning and taking it all in. It's a really cool thing to experience because I think a lot of times when people hop to this side or hop to this sector, they, oh, I never knew this existed. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been around for 100 years. I'm glad you finally came. Now let me show you all the great things that destinationizations do. And that usually what keeps people in, and you know, you see the lifers, and that's, I'm definitely one of them. You once you kind of get in bed and start speaking that language, you're going to be hard sell them to leave it.
Yeah. Well, I think that tourism, in my experience, tourism has just been such a fun industry, and that it's going to be a hard sell to get me to completely leave it at any point, because I don't want to give that up. I've been completely spoiled.
Yeah, it is a, I tell people, especially if you do work at a desterization, I really do believe in, you know, those who put purpose over profit. You know, desterizations have stakeholders, they don't have shareholders. I often tell people, this is the closest you can get to being in politics without being a politician. You have such great influence over your community to help create quality of place, which will influence quality of life. I wish more, and that's something our role is, try to advocate that more people realize these are a career and a pathway. In every community, there's some entity that does this, and they are worthy of investment and engagement. That is just, I just think it's an awesome profession. And I hope to always spread the good word of more people take a realization that this is a great career path for many individuals.
Absolutely. And I think that really ties back into what you said, that Detroit's motto, not their motto, but their
their
mission with the very first destination organization.
Exactly. Yeah. It was for the advancement of the people of Detroit. Now it's a lot different. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what a broad reaching mission, but really is at the heart of what we still do today. And I think that's like, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I kind of feel like we kind of diverted from that for a little bit. And the focus wasn't necessarily on what the tourism office was doing for the community, but it was, we're bringing in money through sales tax and sometimes through a lodging tax. And that ultimately benefits the destination, but it was kind of that heads and beds model. And I've really seen over the last several years the push to incorporate the community and the locals more in the tourism movement, which is just kind of more holistic and pulling back into that original intention that Detroit put out there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's, they hit a home run right from the start, and they're still doing incredible work, just to point that out there. But I'll put in the show notes, everyone should check out my colleague Jack Johnson's video from 2019, where we asked the question at one of our annual conventions was, who is your top customer? And most have answered that saying, well, it's our restaurateurs, it's our attractions, it's, you know, our hoteliers. Those are, in fact, your suppliers for desterization, that is. Your number one customer is actually your community and your resident that you represent at the brand for attention at the world stage. And that takes a little bit of shift in how you talk about yourself, how you value yourself, and frankly, how you measure yourself. We've kind of dubbed that what we call the community shared value. Every community has these essential values that they deem necessary to advance their community. Same way you understand you need clean water to be healthy, teachers to be educated, roads and bridges for economic commerce to get to your jobs. Every community has a brand, and that means every community needs a steward to tell that brand at the world stage. That is what a desterization does. So we call that a community shared value. You know, it's one of these things we deem essential, important, and necessary for every community to compete on investment and attention at the world stage.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I cannot thank you enough for coming on and helping us understand a little bit more what Destinations International, or referred to as DI, it's another set of letters.
Yeah, it's acronym soup.
It is. It is. You said the previous names of the organization, and I was like, I couldn't even tell you what those stand for anymore. But anyway, I am so excited that you were able to come on and give us a good overview and some digging into a little bit of the details and nitty gritty of Destinations International. And so one more time, if they are interested in finding out more about Destinations International, where can they find that?
Sure. Absolutely. Best place to start is our website, destinationsinternational.org, as part of it. If you want to reach out to me or my team, I do have a long name, but it's aweisenborn@destinationsinternational.org. But I would recommend starting at our website. That's the best first place to start.
Thank you so much, Andreas, for joining me today. That wraps up today's quick peek at Destinations International on The Tourism Teacher. I hope you have a little bit more insight to the industry's guiding beacon and what resources are out there for you. If you found this helpful, please pass it along to a colleague and make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a lesson. Join us next time, but for now, class dismissed.